Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Our next guest has got tentacles to the state of Oregon. Craig Harris, award-winning investigative reporter from the Arizona Republic, graduate of the University of Oregon, Oregon City High School, joining us now. He had a hell of a story today. I want to bring him on and talk about it. Craig, man, this is like, you know, you're making your return to home.
Thanks so much. Hi, John. Thanks for having me on.
Let's first talk about your story, and then we'll get into your ties to the state of Oregon. But pretty troubling story. Arizona State had about $11 million loss. Student athletes had to take some cuts. You found out what?
Well, despite losing $11 million last year because of COVID, which probably all Pac-12 schools did, Ray Anderson, who's the athletic director at Arizona State, and Michael Crow, who's the president, gave more than $600,000 in discretionary bonuses to the athletic department staff, including $100,000 that went to Mr. Anderson, who made $2.2 million last year. So these discretionary bonuses are coming at a time when all the sports teams at ASU are being required to make a 15% cut, which, you know, hurts them. They have to cut back on their travel, their meals, their recruiting. So it puts them at a disadvantage against other schools in the Pac-12 conference. Meanwhile, the folks who are working in the athletic office, who had no furloughs, no pay cuts, no layoffs, got pretty sizable bonuses.
How's that going over? Like, you break this story, I slap my forehead, and I say, gosh, this sounds like Larry Scott, Pac-12 commissioner, handing out bonuses while he's laying people off. It can't be flying well in Arizona.
No, it's not flying well at all. And if you look at kind of the online comments, I mean, it's people are infuriated. And you look at also that this isn't all private money. You know, they get about $10 million in student fees, and they get about another $10, $11 million from direct support from the university, which comes from tuition and state tax dollars. So it's not going over well at all. And there is a person who is on the Board of Regents. That's like the governing body for our three major universities down here. And he wasn't too pleased about it at all. And coincidentally, they're going to be voting here in a couple hours on whether to give Ray Anderson, the athletic director, a five-year contract extension. So it'll be interesting to see if they bring it up. I don't think this is going to derail what Ray has done, because he's done a lot of really good things at ASU. But I think it will raise some eyebrows and raise some questions, like, why are you doing this, especially during a pandemic?
Yeah, it's just tone deaf, right? I mean, you look at it and you say that's not leadership in the end. How does that compare to what you found across the conference?
Well, Oregon State gave none. And the athletic director at Oregon State, he deferred and didn't take his bonus because, you know, he made a point that I've asked everybody else to make sacrifices. So I'm not going to do it either. And six other Pac-12 schools also didn't give any discretionary bonuses. And at Oregon, they gave just a little over $100,000 to about 30 or so staffers who did some work, extra work regarding the Rose Bowl. That's about $3,000 a person. And those bonuses were given, you know, pre-pandemic, you know, not to, you know, try to, you know, give some shade to my alma mater, but that's a little bit different situation. So, you know, ASU by far and away was the most generous with discretionary bonuses. And these bonuses are different than what you would pay like Mario Cristobal or, you know, head coaches at Oregon State that might be contractually obligated. These are not contractually obligated. These are just, hey, I like you, I'm going to give you some extra money. There was nothing that they had to do this. There wasn't any metric. It was just at the discretion of Ray Anderson. He wanted to give this money away.
Craig Harris is an investigative reporter at the Arizona Republic. Fantastic reporting today on this Arizona State story. How did they react when you started poking around and asking questions about it?
Well, I had a conversation with Ray Anderson yesterday, and he was not pleased. He was, you know, very, I wouldn't necessarily say angry, but it wasn't a good conversation. You know, he did answer the questions on why he did it. He felt that he did it to boost morale, and that employees at ASU kind of depend on these bonuses. You know, his contention was, you know, we are a mid-market as far as pay. Now, there's some disputes to that. I think most people in Tempe, which is, you know, right outside of Phoenix, probably are doing a little bit better than folks in Pullman or Corvallis. So there's some dispute on that. Ray also told me that he gave away his $100,000 bonus, and then when I asked him who he gave it to, he didn't want to say. The records show the money went to him. So, you know, it wasn't a easy conversation. I'm sure it's probably kind of like conversations you have with Larry Scott. You know, it's not fun. It's not fun to be asked, you know, direct questions of, you know, why did you give away the farm when you lost $11 million?
Yeah, and I always feel like when I'm having those conversations, you know, people will say, gosh, is that uncomfortable? And I go, gosh, it's not as uncomfortable for me as it is for them, because I feel like I'm asking a question that's got a lot of validity to it. Like, you, that's a real question for the athletic director and for the university president, Michael Crow, who he's got a reputation as a guy who likes to spend some money too. Is this more Michael Crow, Ray Anderson? Where do you sort of put the focus of this story?
Well, it's probably Ray Anderson, because what I did when I did this story is I got data going back the last 5 years when Ray first came on board. And the year after he came on board around 2015. And since that time, you know, 2014, 2015, he's given, you know, discretionary bonuses that range from $600,000 to $760,000. So it's a pretty ongoing process that has happened at the athletic department. You know, the contractual obligations, you know, if coaches get so many wins or academic scores, which always is interesting that coaches or athletic directors get bonuses for how well a student does in biology. It's kind of puzzling. But, you know, those are in contracts. You can't get out of that. And anyone that has a contract is entitled to get what they are negotiated. But discretionary bonuses is just that. It's discretionary. You don't have to give that money away. And there's no contractual obligation. And it's just something that Ray does to, you know, as he said, boost morale. I mean, you know, his two of his top deputies got, you know, $49,000 bonuses each, and they're making well over $100,000. I mean, that would boost my morale if someone gave me $49,000. That would be pretty cool. So,
yeah, not his money to give. You know, he's giving away either. So, I'll boost morale with other people's money. How is this going to fly with players? Because I have been, you know, tuned in to kind of, and you as well, I guess, the Pac-12 United movement this season. Players were empowered. I can't expect that players who saw, you know, cuts in their department and their teams and amenities that they had access to sort of dry up, I can't think that's going to be make them happy.
No, I can't think it would make them happy either. And, you know, ironically, I'm actually in a graduate school program at ASU. And one of my colleagues in a lot of my classes is on the women's lacrosse team. So I'm looking forward to talking to her, because she's shared with me, you know, they've not been able to travel. They don't have, you know, as many meals as they used to get because of COVID. They've had to take a big cut. And, you know, $49,000 or $100,000 to a program like lacrosse or soccer or cross country is a lot of money, and would allow you to travel to other places or get additional meals. Or, you know, if a coach can't recruit, then it puts you at a disadvantage. Like, okay, well, am I going to take that last minute flight to go across the country to check on this kid and try to land this 4-star kid that I'm in competition with the other school? So, you know, I can't imagine this is going to go over well with coaches who have had to take a 15% reduction to their budgets this year. And the school's probably going to be in another deficit again this year because, as you know, there are no fans at football games. There was an abbreviated football schedule, and there's no fans at men's basketball, which is the other big moneymaker. So there's going to probably be another deficit this year. But the issue is what's curious is that when I asked Mr. Anderson if there were going to be bonuses this year, he said no, there will be no bonuses this year at Arizona State University.
Craig Harris is with us, Arizona Republic investigative reporter. You got your start at Oregon City High School, went to the University of Oregon. I'm curious, when you look back, we were talking earlier in the show about youth sports and sort of the role that it plays in people's lives. Do you draw upon any experience you had as a kid playing youth sports?
Oh, yeah. I played youth sports all the time in Oregon City. I had the great honor of being the quarterback of a high school football team that went 0-9. So we had a lot of character development. But yeah, youth sports are phenomenal, very much developmental for me, whether it was baseball or soccer or things like that. And even for my kids down here, I coach them in youth sports all the time. I mean, it is a tremendous benefit to just grow as a person and grow and learn how to be a better person. Curiously, my nephew is coming down here tonight because they're playing in a baseball tournament down here. And so he's coming down from Vancouver and they're going to play down here because it's 75 degrees and sunny. And I think you guys are getting snow tonight.
It's like 40 below here. I tried to walk outside earlier. Are you guys fully open? Like, you know, because the high school athletes in our state got good news yesterday as the governor sort of released the stranglehold she had on them, and they're going to be able to begin practicing and perhaps playing. What has it been like there?
It's been pretty much open. We had a fall football season. Right now, there's a basketball season that's wrapping up. There's going to be a baseball season. What's interesting is, they do wear masks, and there's also a lot of restrictions on who can be in the stadium for the game. So I think they tried to find a compromise. The city of Phoenix got a lot of heat earlier because a lot of out-of-town, out-of-state club teams were coming down here to play because it's so beautiful here, especially this time of year. And there was some concern that folks might be bringing COVID down here. And so, you know, it's a real balancing act. I can see all sides on it. It's not as wide open here as, say, in the South, but it's clearly not like Oregon or Washington where things are just closed up. So kids are playing sports. Like I said, my nephew's coming down to play in a high school baseball tournament this weekend, and, you know, we're looking forward to watching them play ball. You know, they're also doing really good things about social distancing to make sure folks don't mingle. And, you know, there's a pretty good mask. Folks wear a mask down here, but there's not a statewide mask mandate, which has contributed to Arizona being one of the worst places in the country for COVID-19.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's frustrating, I think, because, you know, we look at other parts of the country like Arizona that are obviously, competing, and you already had football, and there's kids here trying to get in four or five games, so I think, you know, I'm hopeful that this all passes and we get back to some sense of normalcy. Craig, I really appreciate the work you did on this piece. It's fantastic. I encourage our listeners to check it out, Arizona Republic. Craig Harris, I have retweeted the story this morning already, and I'm eager to see a follow-up on this as well, see what they do with bonuses moving forward. But I appreciate you holding them accountable, Craig.
Hey, thank you so much, and thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure to be back in my beloved home state.
The pride of Oregon City High, Craig Harris, former quarterback. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth. Snowing outside yet, Peter Sampson? You seeing snowflakes yet?
Just a few light ones about 10 minutes ago, but it slowed down.
Downtown Portland, that's the scene. Lance is in government camp. Lance, what's the scene in government camp?
It stinks, John. It's snowing pretty good. Plows have been doing their best. It's icy. As long as you stay in the snow, it's not bad.
What are you doing up there?
I've been working in Prineville, and I'm coming back today.
Okay. Get yourself home safely.
Now, next question. Because I'm working in Prineville, where can I find you?
Well, you've got a variety of affiliates, but the best way to do it, if you got an iPhone?
Well, I do, but I run a crane, and I've got my radio, and blah, 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 and I've not been able to find you.
Peter, do you think he could get, does he get, if he doesn't get 750 the game there, the best way to do it is that you can stream it using your mobile device at baldfacetruth.com. You can also go to TuneIn. You can use the Amazon app on your phone. What about over there? Do you think it's too much for 750 the game to get that signal over there?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to make it quite to Prineville. He might get it kind of in and out. So I think streaming's the best option there.
Let me work on that one. But I think your mobile device, and there's so much technology here. Like, look, Lance, here's another thing. You might want to invest in something that, you know, if you got the old radio and you just want the ability to play that, I don't know if he's in his truck. I don't know if he can plug in a audio cord and stream it through his phone. I've seen some people do some pretty creative and cool things that are very simple and cost effective to be able to stream the show. You also have the podcast of the show that is available. But I'd love to be with Lance as he is working out there. Not literally. I don't want to be out there in the snow with Lance right now. But as he's working out there, I'd love to keep him company. And the delivery drivers who are out working now, shout out to you guys. This is me giving you a virtual fist bump. I know you. I see you driving around in your trucks, making things happen. I see you guys. All right, let's do the big splash.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it.
Where?
Down there.
But
the big splash. Brought to you by the Exergen Twice Daily Thermometer.
Matthew Stafford, who has been traded from the Lions to the Rams, spoke to Detroit media outlets today. He said that the conversation that he had to have with the Lions was the most difficult conversation he ever had to have in his professional career. He had to tell him, look, it's not just working out. It's okay to trade me. I got news for Matthew Stafford.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Baltimore.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.